Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt on Podcast One.
Well, we get into all the latest cases in the news and Mark's cases and the police shootings and the unrest in Washington. We cover it all in this week's Reasonable Doubt. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? Well, how about you bundle those policies with your auto policy? Why not? Save a bunch of money on your insurance when you bundle. Go to geico.com. Find out just how much you could be saving when you bundle at Geico. That is geico.com. Get to bundling today and save a bunch of dough at geico.com.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandates. You get it on, and welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. It's Reasonable Doubt. I'm Adam Carolla, and that's Mark Garagus in New York City.
New York City, where we aren't shut down. So, although indoor dining is shut down, so, but enough restaurant talk. I'm closer to the seat of power, Washington, D.C., where what a week, huh?
What a week, man. What a time. You know, I don't know what that old,
Time to be alive.
Yeah, I don't know. It's some old Gaelic or something toast, but may you live in interesting times, I think is that. Is the toast, and I think we're there, though interesting means like the World's Fair and the Olympics coming to town, I think, not rioting and, you know, guys getting shot at in D.C. and that kind of stuff. But certainly interesting. That's for goddamn sure. So,
well, it certainly is. I mean, you know, what I thought we would be talking about on Monday changed till Tuesday, radically changed on Wednesday, and here we are on Friday, and it's, you know, we're talking 25th Amendment, another impeachment, we're talking, you know, interestingly, Dominion, the voting machine company just sued Sidney Powell for $1.3 billion. I mean, and they arrested the woman, the Soho Karen. I mean, there's just, we have a cornucopia of stories we can talk about today.
Oh, yeah, the Soho Karen. The Soho
we
Karen.
We can talk also about.
Yeah. The Soho Karen who attacked the black teen for accusing of stealing her cell phone. That's Soho Karen? Oh, okay.
Exactly. That Soho Karen got arrested. She got arrested right after doing what may be, I may use that interview. It was an interview with Gayle King on CBS as exhibit A of what you don't want your client to go on TV and do. Gary's got it and we can play it later on. But
all right.
I think the first thing I'm going to start with is what's I've been reading today, all of the people who are now, you know, there's a lot of talk about the 25th Amendment. Then two of the cabinet members have resigned. Elaine Chao, who's married to Mitch McConnell, who was, I think, transportation, and then Betsy DeVos, who, by the way,'s brother is the Blackwater founder, I believe. And he just got pardons for four of his employees. Out of Trump, she just resigned. And now there's talk about whether or not Pence will invoke with the majority of the cabinet, the 25th Amendment, and Pelosi's threatening to bring impeachment if Trump doesn't resign. Says she had conversations with the General Miley, who's the Joint Chiefs, about the nuclear codes and whether those are in place. So as you say, the Gaelic toast is has been exponentially raised here in terms of living in interesting times.
Well, I had a legal question for you that I was thinking about this morning as I heard that one of the guards, the Capitol guards, had died. One of the police officers had died, which you know, I thought was kind of curious. I was like, what do you mean he died? You know, he was killed in the line of duty. Seemed weird that somebody killed him in the skirmish. Didn't make sense to me. Then it kind of made sense in that he had been in the skirmish and then went back and died, had some sort of cardiac event or some version of that. But I was thinking of you because when I thought about a police officer who died in the skirmish, I thought, well, then you're going to bring, they could bring murder charges against whoever killed him. But what charges do you bring or what can you bring if it was a skirmish? I don't know, the guy exerted himself, went back, and then died not of wounds received from the skirmish, but from whatever condition they had. Is there, they're still going to go for manslaughter or murder too or something like that?
You could, I could see, at least in some jurisdictions, I don't pretend to be an expert on D.C. law, but and what you could do there. But the if federal law applies and if they want to show that the if somebody can say that the injuries in the skirmish were a causation, if they proximately caused the death, you could, I could see a involuntary or an implied malice murder. I mean, that's not uncommon. I normally you see that. I've defended more than five or six cases over the years where there were skirmishes outside of a club in Hollywood, for instance, or a couple of packs of Armos in the Valley. And then during a fight, somebody dies later on and they charge murder. So I can see that. I mean, I can see where that or a voluntary manslaughter that fits square into a voluntary if there was some kind of a punch thrown. You'd have to know more about the skirmish and who was there. But then I also took a look at it's interesting to see what I haven't watched the entire tape, but, you know, there's going to be quite a few ramifications out of that rally that led to the DC taking over of the Capitol. And I can see a AG, I can see a US attorney at some point in the next month coming up with charges based on the rally. And that'll be interesting. And there's, you know, there's, you talk about the tension between free speech and whether or not, you know, that old expression, yelling fire in a theater, which goes back to the Oliver Wendell Holmes. And that case was basically Brandenburg, I think, in the 60s, kind of refined that case. But whether speech leading to a riot ends up in injuries, whether you can prosecute somebody there, there's some fascinating legal issues there.
I think, according to Gary, the federal murder investigation has been opened. I think the guy, the guard, died of some sort of medical event that didn't have to do with like a head trauma or something like that.
It's a little unclear in the articles, but what it says is that he was injured on the 6th, which was the day of the you know, festivities, and then he went back to his station, collapsed, and was admitted to the hospital, and then succumbed to his injuries the next day.
Hmm.
But it doesn't specifically say what. I'll keep digging.
Okay.
And he was relatively young, right?
He appears to be in his
40s. Or something. Relatively young.
Yeah, relatively young. So,
and I had this right. It's interesting. Now, there also has been reported four other deaths, but I know there was one with a woman who was a veteran, and I've been following some of her rants, for lack of a better term, that they posted posthumously, that she apparently had bought in hook, line, and sinker into many of the so-called conspiracy theories. And then she was from San Diego, I believe. She was a veteran, right, Gary?
Yeah, and she was a veteran from San Diego. Shot in the neck, I think.
Yeah. Interesting, you know, there are legal theories, by the way, where there's much litigation around them, where if you start a provocation in one of your so-called, it's generally in a robbery, for instance, where you go into a location with somebody else, then you get your crime partner gets shot and you're held liable under what was the old majority rule for the murder itself. So that's a potential liability as well, for even though it may not have been a so-called protester, trespasser, whatever you want to call burglar going in, who did the shooting. Even if it was Capitol Police who did the shooting, then there's a question of whether or not you can hang liability on the people who provoked it. Some interesting legal issues.
Yeah. The guy who died was 42, which does suggest there was trauma.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I've read several more articles, and all it says is he suffered injuries while engaging with protesters. No one gives specifics.
The three.
I was waiting. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say the three protesters, the other three protesters that died, who died of sort of medical complications or events or something like that, that feels like heart attacks or something. That one feels like that feels like a little more of died in the arms of a prostitute, but we can't really can't put the prostitute in jail. That's what that one feels like to me. But I don't know about the other three. For the record, that's how I'd like to go as well. But I don't know about the other three.
In the arms of a prostitute?
Yeah, that's why.
Or breaking into a governmental building.
Arms of a prostitute. That's okay. Why.
Yeah. And then I have no desire to break into a governmental building. Sometimes I want to break out of governmental buildings, but I've never had the urge to break into a governmental building. It's quite something, though, I'll tell you. The profiles in Courage, like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley. I mean, you know, I was singing Josh Hawley's praises for his cross-examination skills, but they have certainly faded in terms of his dubious kind of duplicitousness that was on display this week. I'll tell you, even his mentor, I saw the retired Danforth, John Danforth, who said worst mistake he ever made was mentoring that guy. And boy, did he read the room wrong.
Yeah.
Josh Hawley.
Yes, I agree. I was with you on his cross-examination skills as well, but I seemed to put his foot in his mouth on this one. Let's talk about your cases. Yeah. And or Soho, Lolita. Karen.
The Soho Karen and Dominion are fascinating to me. The Dominion, let's start with Dominion, then we'll go right into, we'll end with Soho. The Dominion one, and I was wondering if they were going to do this, because both Sidney Powell and even more so Lynn Wood, who I count as a friend, and I'm perplexed by a lot of what's happened with Lynn, as many people on Twitter constantly remind me. I was wondering if Dominion was going to sue, because, you know, at a certain point, it's almost like they've been dared to sue, because if you've got a company that's got all of these contracts and you've got people out there who are saying that, you know, there's algorithms who are flipping votes and things like that, the only way that you can ever, I think, respond to that is to sue and to get somebody to either retract. Now, they've been successful so far in getting a bunch of news outlets, including, I think, Fox and OANN, to withdraw or retract their statements. And it'll be interesting to see how Sidney Powell approaches this as well.
Yeah, well, if your job...
$1.3 billion is what they're asking for.
Well, I think you can argue, you have a pretty good argument for damages, because really all you have, if you're a company that tabulates votes, is your reputation. I mean, once there's some doubt cast on your reputation, then that's the last time anyone can use your company and your equipment to tabulate votes, you know. And there's a lot of smearing of Dominion out there. And I think they have a cause. I mean, I think you can definitely say this has hurt us, and it would hurt us financially. I don't know what number you put on that. Well, $1.3 billion, evidently. But, yeah, when reputable...
I'm highly doubtful that Sidney Powell has got $1.3 billion worth of insurance coverage or personal assets.
No, for sure. Yeah,
she bought a lot of Tesla stock.
But when reputable people are smearing you, I think there's something... You know, I think they're right to do it. So there is the Soho Karen, which she's had a couple of run-ins. She had a couple of DUIs, I believe. She was wrestling with a 14-year-old black kid saying he stole her cell phone. So she was like kind of physically assaulting this guy. She got a DUI, I think, in L.A. and then maybe one in New York. And,
right, after denying that.
Right. So what is her status?
Apparently just picked up, was just arrested on an extradition warrant to New York. Gary, do you have this interview? I hate to do this to you.
No, I do.
Without warning you.
Are you kidding me? This has been...
did an interview. Yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I've got it. This has been swimming in my head all morning. I'm going to skip...
I mean, this...
Ron.
If you could play some, I wanted Adam's take on this, because here we go.
Mia, help me understand, what made you think that Keon had your phone? That's why I'm confused. Why did you think he had it?
I was approaching the people that had been exiting the hotel because in my mind, anybody exiting is probably the one that might be the one that is trying to steal my phone. I admit, yes, I could have approached the situation differently or maybe not yelled at him like that and made him feel, you know, maybe some sort of... inferior way of making him feel as if I was like hurting his feelings, because that's not my intention. I consider myself to be super sweet. I really never ever meant for it to like hurt him or his father either.
Are you saying that you were stopping everybody in the lobby asking them about your phone? Is that what you're saying?
Not everyone, just the people that in the meantime, while the hotel manager was checking the footage, I just wanted to do my part as best as I could.
You just described yourself as super sweet. I know you've seen the video. When you look at the video, the reaction seems very extreme. It doesn't seem like it's someone who's super sweet.
How would you feel if you were alone in New York and... you know, you're going to spend time with your family during the holidays and you lose the one thing that gets stolen from you that has all of the access to the only way that you're able to get back home.
I just don't think I would randomly attack people is what I'm saying to you. I know you said you could have handled it better, but I just don't think I would randomly attack people in the manner in which you did. What do you think when you look at that video? You're standing there in your leggings and your flip-flops, and it looks like you're just going nuts, for lack of a better word.
No, I'm not letting him walk away with my phone! I don't feel that is who I am as a person. I don't feel like this one mistake does define me, but I do sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, apologize that if I made the son feel as if I assaulted him or if I hurt his feelings or the father's feelings.
I don't believe one mistake defines anybody, but I think when I look at that particular video... You did more than just accuse him. The video seems to show that you physically attacked this young boy. You do see that too, right?
But at the end of the day, the dad did end up like slamming me to the ground and pulling my hair and throwing me and dragging me across the ground. So I will say that.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the video we saw, it looked like you had just attacked his son.
Yeah, the footage shows me attacking his son, of attacking him how? Yelling at him? Yes. Okay, I apologize. Can we move on?
I know you're saying I don't need to, I just want to apologize, but I do think that there should be some context to your actions that day.
Okay, so basically I'm a 22-year-old girl. How is one girl accusing a guy about a phone a crime? Where is the context in that?
Mia,
what is the deeper,
Mia,
what is the deeper, Mia, what is the deeper
Mia,
story
it's
here?
It's not, that's not the problem. You have to at least understand your actions that day. you seem to have attacked this little boy, this young boy, this teenager. You seem to have attacked this teenager about the phone. And then it turned out he didn't even have your phone. That's the thing. I mean, you're saying, look, I'm 22 years old. You're 22 years old, but you are old enough to know better. So I will say you're 22.
I get it. Enough. The hotel did have my phone. The hotel did end up having my phone. I did get my belongings returned to me.
All right. Well, a couple things. Okay. I don't want to. I'll tell you Mark Garagos's thoughts on this. If you're the attorney who seemed to be sitting next to her or her mom, I don't know.
That was her attorney.
Her attorney, by all means.
That's her attorney.
Do not describe this interaction. Never use the word attack. Use the word detain. Use the word confront.
As long as we're policing language, can I say that using the word inferior in the first 30 seconds, probably not a great move?
Don't use the word inferior. Do not describe what you did to him as attack. You can look at, sought justice. There you go. Or detained. Or imposed my will. But do not use the word attack.
You know what really should have been done after about 10 seconds when you realize, first of all, it remind the cap with daddy on it, I think wouldn't have been one of my better moves. But I think after about 10 seconds, you noticed it looked like they were doing this by either Skype or Zoom on a laptop computer. I think what I would have done had that been me and my client is just do this. Something happened.
Just shut the computer.
Yeah. She's looking, she went from potentially having a no time deal to she's going to do significant time. I mean, that all they got to do is press play on that video. And there you go. I mean,
also
before she could have done something that video is about as a pro-prosecution video as you're going to want to find.
Also, it was in the intro to that piece that I cut out for length, but she was arrested the day after that interview in Ventura County up near Los Angeles. And apparently when the cops pulled her over, she refused to get out of the car and they had to drag her out of the car to arrest her.
Also, you can't really play the age card. You can't go, I'm just 22 years old, if in fact you're attacking a 14-year-old, because I would then take the age thing and use it against you. Like,
exactly.
You may be calling yourself young, but you're 8 years older than the person you attacked, who is a minor, and you're not a minor. So I would probably leave the age out of the equation if again, you attack someone who's a minor. Yeah, and it is interesting, like you're wearing a hat that says daddy on it.
It's just...
Why didn't the attorney go, hey, lose the cap or turn it backwards or what have you?
Apparently the attorney did and she refused, but...
Oh, boy.
My favorite part is the end. Enough.
Yeah. Although I am sort of jealous of her super high self-esteem. I must say, she has self-esteem.
Oh, I mean, I have never seen, she doubles, triples, and quadruples down. She's the Soho Karen is, you know, she's got no regrets, none.
Well, I want to know about...
When she's in a cell, they're going to have to extract her.
I'm going to, I'd like to tease what's going on latest in Mark Garagos restaurateurs versus Los Angeles and California and so forth. I'd like an update on some of these cases you're involved with as well. First, let me tell you about Geico. Do you own? Do you rent? Well, you probably do one of those two things. How about you take your policies and you bundle them at Geico? Geico makes it easy for you to take your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy and combine them and bundle them. You save money, you save time. It's easy. It's all in one place. You just go to geico.com. You get a quote. See just how much you could be saving when you bundle at Geico. That is geico.com. So the latest in the saga of the restaurateurs, for anyone listening, I'm out here in Los Angeles, and Everything is shuttered. The restaurants are all closed. Trying to figure out if they're what places are even open for takeout, because you know, they say you can open your restaurant for takeout, but a lot of these restaurants just went, fuck it, we'll just close altogether. So you couldn't even get takeout from them. Where are we at with that case?
Well, the as you know, the law of unintended consequences, in my opinion, is L.A. shut down first and obviously forced everything indoors. And when you forced everything indoors, guess what happens? We all of a sudden have the craziest corona spread you'd ever want to see in L.A.
Right.
And I don't think that's coincidental. I think that's exactly what happened, along with the fact that my guess is we probably had the variant, the more contagious variant in Los Angeles before anywhere else, or at least at the same time that it was in the UK. Now you've got a situation where the county appealed and got a stay from the Court of Appeal of an order that had already expired, which, and the reason they did that, obviously, is because all they care about is they don't want to have to justify in the future their order, because that's what the judge ordered them to do. He said, you can't enforce this order because you got no data. And on top of it, if you're going to put out a new order after December 16th, you have to justify it. They don't want to justify it because, frankly, there is no justification. So now we filed against the state. Our plaintiff in the state is Angela Marsden, who's the woman at Pineapple Hill, who I went out there to that location. It's astonishing. She shares a parking lot in the valley there with a number of other places, including an In-N-Out, which is kind of around the corner. And so what they did was, in that video that went viral, some 10 million views, they allowed somebody in the same parking lot, 25 feet away from where she had people outdoors, the film production company could have outdoor dining there, but she could not, 25 feet away. And to her credit, you know, she kind of took a stand and has taken a stand. Others have tried to do the same, and the county is now doing all of the everything they can to make examples out of people. But we filed in the state, and I anticipate within, I don't know, 72, 96 hours of this dropping, that we will ask a federal judge to enjoin the state. I think it's become apparent. It's interesting to me, for all of the criticism, rightful criticism of Trump and the federal response, I think the state response has been equally lame. And you can lay that at Gavin Newsom's feet. I mean, it's obvious to me, at least, that Newsom is kind of controlled in making decisions by which lobbyist gets to him or which lobbyist has most access. Therefore, you know, the lobbyist for the film production companies, obviously, all of a sudden that becomes essential, and restaurants outdoors are non-essential because they don't have as good a lobbyist, apparently. And I think that we're seeing the destruction of an entire industry here at the hands of the government. It's just, to me, it's just unbelievable. Not only because I'm in the business, but, you know, like you, Adam, I love to eat out. I love to enjoy restaurants. And why they think that this, that what has failed before is going to work now, you know, is basically the definition of insanity.
I sent out a tweet that probably got, I don't know, 1.5 million views, which is, I said LA needed to lock down longer and lock down harder until we could get our numbers down to cities that didn't lock down.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I don't understand why you have to, it's almost become kind of an ideological, borderline religious kind of belief. You either believe wholeheartedly that locking down solves this, and you lock down harder. And it don't bother me with empirical evidence. Don't bother me with the fact that it's failed or that it does fail repeatedly. And worldwide, you've got global data to take a look at. And I don't understand why it's we can't be fluid enough to say, maybe we were wrong about this and we're going to make an adjustment. Why is that?
Well, the scary part of it, and it's the part that I've always been aware of on a smaller scale, which is this kind of element of who dares to defy me. So when you deal with the Department of Building and Safety as much as I have over the years, in terms of doing projects and permits and things like that, you'll run into these situations all the time. There's one I've spoken about before, but it kind of falls under this heading, which is, I'm putting in a dishwasher. The guy wants to know where that breather is at the top, sticking out of the counter, the weird snorkel chrome thing in the middle of the counter. I told him this thing is this Fisher-Paykel thing from Europe. It's new. They figured out, on page 34 of the installation guide, page A tells you how to do it with the breather. Page 34B does breatherless installation. You make a loop at the top. It's under the counter. You don't have to drill a hole in the counter. Of course, the inspector comes by and goes, where's the breather? I then show him the manufacturer's instructions for breatherless installation, and he looks at it, and he goes, I still want to see a breather. And I said, but I don't want to drill a hole in the top of my marble counter, and the manufacturer suggests you can install it this way. And he says, Let me take this brochure back to my superior. I'll show my manager, and we'll see what he says. I go, fine. Show him the installation that the manufacturer wants. Talk to the guy the next day. Nah, we want the breather. So the point is you've dared to defy them, and when you defy them, they punish you for essentially defying them. But here's the thing, Gavin Newsom. I would like a relationship with the governor of the state I live in not to be the relationship that a teenage girl has with her fucking evil stepdad, where you've defied, you said curfews at 8 o'clock and the chick's 17 years old and she comes home at 9:30 and you ground her. And if she pipes up, she gets grounded harder. I get it. People are asking questions, but the reason people are asking questions is because they should ask questions, because you're ruining businesses based on no science or data whatsoever. But when somebody dare raise their hand or raise their voice, they then double down because you have defied them. And that's not what we're looking for out of leadership. I would like someone, like you said, to be a little more fluid.
I don't understand. Isn't the whole idea of being a leader is whether it's on the field, off the field, politics, or anybody else, is a leader is one who leads. It's a leader is not one who is basically an autocrat. I mean, that's what you get. I mean, I don't understand. And I've talked with people across the state of California, whether it's supervisors of counties, whether it's city attorneys and cities, who also privately tell me, we agree with you. We understand. This makes no sense. I'm literally public officials who told me that. None of this makes any sense. I said, well, then why do you go along with it? And because they're afraid. I mean, they're literally cowed by whether it's the governor, the way he's going to punish, the way the things of that nature, whether or not the constituents are going to come and get upset with them. So I don't find that to be leadership. I think that that's kind of sticking your finger in the wind.
Well, also, you can just tell by the reaction, you fight them on behalf of all the businesses that are going under. You ask them to present evidence to suggest that what they're doing made sense, and they can't produce that evidence. So at that point, you're supposed to change direction. If in fact you're leading, you need to now go find a mirror, look into it, realize that maybe you made the wrong choice. Not double down on your choice. That's what they're doing. And it's simply because you're defying them. You have dared to defy them.
And that's what's infuriating. I mean, it really is infuriating. The idea that you have no evidence. I mean, you can make this exact same argument for the allegations of when we were talking about Dominion. You can say, where is the evidence of voter fraud? Well, where is the data or the evidence that the lockdown works to flatten the curve, so to speak? I mean, we are, how far are we? We're somewhere around 7 weeks out since the first time that we locked down in LA County, and we're now in a worse situation than we've ever been, the absolute worst, 7 weeks out. So, and then they keep moving it. They keep saying, well, you know, it's Thanksgiving, ignoring the fact that Black Friday shopping was open all over the place. Then it was Christmas, and now we're moving in. So there's always something. Without data, they just say it. So it was people gathering or people traveling or anything goes, as opposed to what is really happening, which is indoors, poor ventilation, and congregate of strangers, by the way, which is every courthouse in Los Angeles, which is still open. Explain to me how any of that makes sense and why they keep doubling, tripling down on the things that are making it even worse. And then explain to me why you wouldn't immediately go in and inoculate, vaccinate the elderly or people in assisted living. You want to kill off the mortality rate, pun intended. You want to damp down the mortality rate. You go to where anywhere from 61 to 68%. Last time I looked in the city of Pasadena, which has its own health department, on their dashboard, that's where almost 7 out of 10 deaths are associated with assisted living centers. So wouldn't you immediately go in and vaccinate there? Isn't that where you would start? I mean, obviously, frontline or people who are getting exposed in emergency rooms. But if you've got 1 million doses, why not go and target the areas where people are dying?
Well, again, you kind of captured it all at the beginning of that soliloquy when you said, explain to me why. The answer is, I don't have to explain anything to you. I do what I want. We have a, you know, majority, super majority of Democrats, and they're going to do what I tell them to do. And I don't need to explain to you jack shit. So you just pay your taxes and do what I tell you to do. And if you defy me, I'm going to arrest you. That's not what you're looking for out of leadership or government, but that's where we are. The recall effort, by the way, for Newsom is past 1 million signatures, so we should definitely keep that going. Where should we go? Is it recallnewsom.com or something like that if people want to sign up for that? I was driving through Old Town Pasadena in our neck of the woods the other day, and I was seeing all these restaurants that had done all the modifications, put the cement barriers out front, moved all the tables out past the sidewalk, set up all the umbrellas and everything, and they're all just shuttered. There's nothing going on in any one of these places that had done all these modifications to try to conform to whatever the regulations were 3 months ago. I'm curious about, I just popped in my head, but this whole Kenosha situation. These officers were, what was the story there?
Before you guys go there, let me just give out recallgavin2020.com.
Recallgavin2020.com. Okay, go there, everybody.
Yeah, Kenosha, I have not followed. It's kind of been swallowed up by the by all of the news out of D.C. and whether the 25th Amendment is going to get invoked or whether he's going to resign or whether Pence is going to do this or is going to do that. And I noticed this week, and I wonder if it was done purposefully, that they waited to get kind of under cover of distraction, that they announced that they were not going to charge anybody in that case. It's, Gary, what day did they announce that?
Well, your mic's not hot, Gary. It was the same day or the day before.
I think it was the day before, if my memory serves. And it was apparently done in secret, but it was not a well-kept secret. And the DA came out and gave about a two-hour press conference explaining all of his logic behind it and all of that.
Yeah. So I don't know what your was the take where the guy showed up at the estranged girlfriend's place and he was walking around to the driver's side of the minivan or whatever he was driving, the SUV, and the cop shot him in the back seven times as he was Jacob Blake, as he was trying to get into the vehicle. What do you think?
My take on those always is if you're a civilian and did that, would they have prosecuted? I understand the under color of authority, but I just think there are so many times where force is used where force doesn't need to be used. But that's my I'm not in the weeds on that case as much as I probably want to be or should be to even be expressing an opinion. Did you watch the tape?
Yeah, I watched a tape,
a video, or a body cam.
It's really unfortunate. It is a kind of a situation where the guy obviously was defying whatever the commands were of the police. But what else is new these days? The cop was sort of following him with his gun drawn, and the cop had this sort of. He had a little moment in time. He could either, I don't think he was capable of subduing the guy because the guy had, I think they'd wrestled once with the cops and he kind of got up and was walking away. The cop had a very small window. That window was either I shoot this guy in the back or he gets into the car and drives away. Now, they were kind of doing this. There's a knife in the car, but it didn't really that seemed to be neither here nor there. A lot of people have a pocket knife in their car. A lot of men and women just have a knife in their car. Not even to use as a weapon, just to like open parcels or cut rope or,
as a
tool. Right. So that seemed kind of spurious. There was a knife in the car. He was going for the knife, or he didn't know he was going for the knife. That part seems a little neither here nor there. It was basically, this guy's going to drive away in 1.7 seconds, and I either shoot him in the back, or he gets in the car and drives away. That's basically, and of course, the cop chose to shoot him in the back. Probably should have chose to just let him drive away. And that's basically it. There was a very, very tight window. He didn't shoot him when he was walking around the car. He very casually and slowly walked around the car, walked in front of the car, and the cop was just following him with the gun the whole time, probably telling him to get on his knees or, whatever it was. And he just walked around, opened the door, and was kind of leaning in, but it wasn't really like I'm grabbing for a knife. He was going to drive away. And the cop couldn't do anything about it, and the cop shot him. And it's a messy case, but it'd be a hard one to prove because the cop could say, oh, we didn't know if there was a kid in the car, or we didn't know if there was a knife in the car. We heard there was a knife in the car, or he could have run over another cop when he was pulling off. Like, it'd be a hard one to prosecute, I think. Of course, anytime someone has shot it in the back, at point blank range, it always looks fucking bad. What it always plays out to me, and there's been many of these cases, the guy passed out in the drive through at the Wendy's or wherever that was, that case as well. The more damning part of this as it pertains to law enforcement personnel is how they're unable to subdue civilians. Like there's two cops. The guy basically whoops both two cops drunk out of his mind and then stands up, takes the taser off the one and starts running. You know what I mean? Why aren't you able to prevent this guy when there's three right. cops there from getting into the fucking car without shooting him? To me, they always want to talk about training and about, not using the force and the weapon and not discharging the weapon and all that kind of stuff. But there should be some focus on if two cops pull a guy out of the car who's drunk out of his brain, that guy shouldn't be able to beat and subdue both cops, remove a weapon from one of them, and take off. This happens a lot, and then of course the shooting begins after the guy gets the best of them. Also, if you think about it, whether it's a cop or a bar fight, and we should hold cops to a higher standard, obviously, than bar patrons, but after you just got your ass whooped, you're much more likely to want to shoot somebody.
I was going to say, it's that kind of the adrenaline pumping, right? And then you've got that, I want revenge, basically.
Well, you just got whooped on by a guy. I mean, like I said, in the drive-thru one, those were two cops.
Yeah, where was that? Well, that was Atlanta, wasn't it?
I think so. I think it was at a Wendy's. And the Kenosha one, Gary, am I right? You know, they picked the footage up because it's probably more incendiary, but they picked the footage up from after he's walking around the car. But before that, I think they attempted to wrestle him down to the ground and they couldn't get that one either. These guys aren't former football players or pro wrestlers. These are like civilian dudes who have it. Okay. We'll look for that. First, I'll tell you about True Underdog. It's a new podcast by four-time Entrepreneur of the Year, Jason Waller. It's real, it's raw, it's motivational, inspiring stories, and killer entrepreneurship advice, by the way. Jason is the definition of a true underdog, raised in a trailer park, suffered childhood abuse, kicked out of high school, and became a dad in his teens. He found the power within and used the street smarts that he'd gained all those years ago to start three companies from the ground up. His latest venture, Power Home Solar, is on the path to becoming a $1 billion enterprise. Head to True Underdog Podcast and hear how Jason and high-profile guests turn their lives around. You can subscribe to True Underdog Podcast at Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or on your favorite podcast app. It is True Underdog Podcast. Gary, did he wrestle a couple of those cops down before?
Yeah, give me about 30 around? Seconds and I'll show you a pretty shaky video, but it's...
Yeah.
Is this a video taken by a bystander?
Yes.
Not a body cam.
Correct. Bystander. It's a little shaky.
But
and
I
it's
do
from,
remember this. We talked about this. Right?
Yeah, it's also...
I wish we had part of the press conference. Did you watch any of the press conference? I did not have time this week to watch the press conference because everything else that was going on. But I think Gary was right when he said it was about 2 hours or so, wasn't it? The prosecutor?
It was very long. Like I watched it. It was well over an hour.
And were they going after
him? What was the justification?
The justification was basically that they were acting in self-defense and that, you know, Jacob Blake was not going to be charged either, and that basically all parties were at fault, but no one was at fault to a point that they should be charged with a crime.
I feel like maybe everyone
Locks
should be charged.
Their houses, basically.
Yes. But they couldn't. Were they going after the other officers? Because only one officer discharges weapon. So I don't even know what the other officers were doing. And I don't know what's going on with the Floyd case. What is going on with the Floyd case?
The Floyd case, the prosecution just asked for a 3-month continuance due to COVID, is my understanding. And I think there's a split amongst the defense lawyers as to whether or not they're going to agree to it. You know, this is one of the things that's happening with COVID and Corona is, you know, you've got this tension between speedy trial rights and, you know, the worst place to be is a courtroom when you're talking about transmission of the virus. Take a look in L.A., for instance. The public defender's office has repeatedly had people test positive because they either have to deal with clients who are in the jail settings where the virus is rampant, or they're in the courtrooms where you've got nothing but congregating people from many different households. I mean, take a look. There's a feed or an entity called Court Watch, which keeps posting pictures and videos and little vignettes about what's going on in the courthouses in LA, and it's fascinating to watch. I mean, the courthouses to me are the world's worst place for anybody to be if you've got any kind of a susceptibility to the virus.
Do we have
the hospitals would be number one.
We have the video of
the video.
Yeah, so they can see the cars in the background, and
that video just into our newsroom.
There's, I guess, two or three cops
on the same street of the shooting
out there, and they're sort of it's a shaky video.
That little kid, yeah, it's a very shaky. Was that a little kid right there? Huh?
Yeah, I would ask people to leave their kids, don't bring their kids when the cops are wrestling with the nice man in the street. Yeah, I guess they were wrestling around.
And yeah, then, so if you zoom in a little bit, it looks like they're on the passenger side near the rear wheel of that car, and they're struggling with him, and then he ends up walking around the front of the car, and then when he's by the driver's side, you know, door or front wheel, that's when the shooting occurs.
Yeah.
Damn. So I want to – the last thing I want to talk about, the – what are we? How many days left until the end of this term?
11.
When this drops, Gary, we will
11.
Be
11.
11 days. So if you're Trump and you're pissed off at Pence, two of your cabinet members have resigned. They're talking about impeaching you. I don't think that he's going to get impeached and convicted, because they would have to pull off 16 or 17 senators in the Senate to convict. And I just don't see that happening this quickly. But at the same time, you know, in your heart of hearts, that the minute that you're not president anymore, the Manhattan DA is staring you down and probably going to indict you criminally. First of all, do you pardon yourself or resign before to have Pence pardon you so that you have no federal exposure, knowing that the Manhattan DA is still out there? Or, and because self-pardon, I'm not so sure. I don't think that there's a definitive legal basis upon which you could say, okay, I'm going to be able to do it. Do you resign first and have Pence pardon you? Or you pardon yourself, take your risks? Knowing either way, whether it's Pence or a self-pardon, you still have to deal with the state, meaning the state of New York and the Manhattan DA. What do you think?
Well, here's what I think. The days of Trump and vanity and wanting to be popular or wanting to win over the press or any of that are long. You know, that ship has sailed many, many years ago. So in terms of optics, kind of the good news for Trump is, you know, he's right up there with, you know, Charles Manson and the Unabomber in terms of likability, in terms of press favorability, in terms of his name couldn't be muddier than it already is. With that in mind, he's now free to do anything he wants, regardless of the optics, because he's not. He now does not have the burden of a legacy, you know, or how he's viewed, or how's the New York Times gonna take this? You know what I mean? Like, I do think that a lot of people factor in two things. They go, well, here's what I want, but on the other hand, what are the optics of me pardoning myself, or what are the optics of X, Y, or Z, and what's the headlines in the USA Today going to read, or what are they going to lead with on CNN? He's now so far past that in a way, he's freed up to just do anything, no matter how outrageous it sounds, to benefit himself. So I think at this point, he's going to pick the path that most benefits himself and that leaves his exposure to be whatever the least exposed he can be when he exits is what he's going with, regardless of what that whether it means resigning and having Pence pardon him or pardoning himself or throwing himself down a set of stairs and claiming, you know, he hit his head and is not capable of being tried. Like, I just think he'll just do whatever suits him. He'd be dumb not to.
Yeah, I just don't know what the calculation. I've said this before, having defended people who are in kind of his position. His calculus has got, I don't know what he's doing, but getting, I think, increasingly concerned that less than 2 weeks from now, he's going to be exposed criminally. I just think that I think it's clear to me, if you're reading the tea leaves, the Manhattan DA is going to come after him. I think that I think it's a given. And if you can't pardon your way out of that, does he take some crazy action to try to preempt that?
I think he is going to take Air Force One.
I don't know what that would be.
He should take Air Force One to Epstein's Island and just fucking call it a life. I mean, that's what I would do. I would gas up Air Force One.
Well,
I would tell him I have to go to the Middle East to settle something, and I would just land on Epstein's Island. I'd say, that's it. I'm here. Come get me. That's it. That's his next move.
Come get me. Extradite me.
Yeah. All right, Mark. Let me hit one last piece of business here.
Tie all the loose ends together.
It would, and it'd be satisfying. Okay. I do want to know, I have not heard this theory of the New York DA going after Trump on any of the news outlets. Have you heard? I've not heard any chatter about this other than from you. Is this something that you're hearing, that you're reading about, that you're seeing on news channels?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Gary says yes. Okay. All right.
You don't see a lot of it.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's out there.
You don't see a lot of it.
All right. Let me hit trust and will. Many of you are starting out. You're buying homes. You're having babies. You're building wealth. You want to secure your family's future. You got a little to-do list? Well, how about trustandwill.com? Setting up an estate plan is simple, convenient, and secure. Nominate guardians for your kids. Determine who gets your stuff and plan for the future medical care, your future medical care as well. Do it all from home. For as little as $39, hiring a traditional estate attorney will cost thousands. Documents designed by estate planning experts and customized for your state. Plus, live customer support 7 days a week. This is important.
Wow.
You should do it from your home. I talk to Dr. Drew all the time. He's like, do your medical stuff from your home. You don't need to go into the hospital. You can do this stuff from your home. You can do it online. Do the same with your trust in your will at trustandwill.com. Right, Gary?
That's right. Gain peace of mind at trustandwill.com/doubt and get 10% off plus free shipping of your customized legal documents. Don't wait. Go right now. This is really important. Get 10% off plus free shipping at trustandwill.com/doubt. trustandwill.com/doubt.
All right, this weekend I will be at Naples, Florida, Off the Hook Comedy Club, January 15th and 16th. That is this weekend. Almost sold out, but maybe a couple of tickets left, so come on out to that. You go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live dates. Coming to Oklahoma City, coming to Kansas City, coming to Royal Oak, Michigan, Waukegan, Illinois, all the hot spots. And you go to AdamCarolla.com again for all the live shows. Mark, what do you got?
Well, New York, we still have Prova, both in Times Square and in Grand Central. Come by, grab a slice. In L.A., you've got Engine Company to go, Tenney to go, and V Palm Springs is open, as is Casa Tropicana. So come visit.
So until next time, Adam Carolla, Mark Garagos saying mahalo.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all-new episode.
This is Corolla Digital.